An anthology about the bad, the short-lived, and the forgotten shows and events in television history. This is It Was a Thing on TV.
Punisher! Control!
Tell me before I change my mind!
I give you Super Train!
Episode 460, submission number 2515. Days Like These. Days Like These aired on ITV from the 12th of February to the 14th of July 1999 for a total of 13 episodes, three of which went unaired. So not counting the unaired episodes, that is six less than a crock block. Greg, you are the historian. Do we have anything from February of 1999?
No, we do not. In fact, hold on a second, by my count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the seventh entry from 1999. The other ones are Doctor Who, The Curse of Fatal Death from episode 431. Well, this isn't an episode, but I might as well count this from Minisode 22. Ball, get out of my nachos! The Jesse Ventura story from episode 214. The Chimp Channel back in episode 10. A recent entry, Chuck E. Cheese in the Galaxy 5000. And Shasta McNasty.
And now, for perhaps the only anachronism that we will ever have on this podcast, a song from 1990 by Asia in this 70s-themed TV series. In the late 1990s, Bonnie and Terry Turner teamed up with Mark Brezel to create a show for Fox about six teenagers living in Point Place, Wisconsin during the mid to late 1970s. It was called Teenage Wasteland. However, The Who's Pete Townsend refused to sign off on that name. So they tried The Kids Are All Right. Pete Townsend didn't sign off on that name. So they just tried Feeling It All Right. But Fox looked at Feeling All Right and thought that the name was less than memorable. So Bonnie Turner suggested that the show would just be called That 70s Show, because an audience member in the crowd would say, "I loved that show about the 70s. It was that point where it ultimately became the official title for the show. According to many of the cast members, this wasn't a send-up of the 70s or a parody of the 70s. It was legitimately living as a teenager in the 70s. And it became the second longest live-action sitcom in Fox history. Seeing the success on Fox, ITV wanted a piece of that 70s action. But it wasn't just enough to, you know, just import the episodes, because that would be the easy way out. And the thing of it is, and this is partly also the reason why Days Like These failed, the show was way too American. It's also why Coupling failed in the US, because if you watch the original Coupling, it was way too British. So Tom Werner, Marcy Carsey, Karen Mandebach, the Turners, and Terry Brazel teamed up with Jesse Armstrong and Sam Bain, who would go on to create such shows like Peep Show and Succession. I know you like Succession, Greg.
I don't really watch Succession. I only watch Alan Ruck.
That's good enough for me. But they teamed up to adapt several early episodes for British audiences, which of course means taking American references and turning them into British references. For example, I want to say they were watching a Star Trek rerun in one episode. That became a Doctor Who rerun.
Oh, that's good. I'm sure they're probably watching some good Tom Baker episodes.
And they replaced President Ford in an episode with Prince Charles. A single Prince Charles, because this is the 70s after all. And also, they replaced the town of Point Place, Wisconsin, with the real-life town of Luton, which is in the east of England, a few miles north of London. Did it work? We'll talk about that in a moment, but right now, let's talk about all of the people who are on Days Like These. They didn't change many of the names, but you will know who's who in a moment. In the role of Eric Foreman, they didn't change that name, is Max Rotsley, who played a sacrificed Nova Corman in Guardians of the Galaxy, and is also known as Sir Laurent Marbrand in a couple of episodes of House of the Dragon, besides playing a voice in Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Hold on, which Star Wars Battlefront 2?
It just says Star Wars Battlefront 2 from 2017.
Okay, the EA Star Wars Battlefront. Because the original Star Wars Battlefront games are getting a remaster.
And he was Agent Dean in one episode of 24, Live Another Day.
So if you're keeping score, that's 424 references this week.
Playing his parents, Ron Foreman, not Red Foreman, Ron Foreman and Kitty Foreman, Trevor Cooper from Star Cops in 1987, and playing Kitty Foreman is Anne Bryson, who was in Doctor Who The Monthly Adventures for Big Finish.
Because we can't get enough talking about Big Finish on this podcast.
Playing his neighbor slash sometimes girlfriend Donna Palmer, not Donna Pinciotti, Donna Palmer, Rosie Marcel, who you may remember as the detective in the bathroom from Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Or maybe I'm the only one who remembers that.
I remember that scene. Well, maybe we'll talk about it one day.
Playing her parents, Bob and Midge Palmer, Steve Steen, you might remember from Whose Line Is It Anyway? I know I do. And also Blackadder. And Sarah Stockbridge, who you might remember from Interview with the Vampire. The best friends include Dylan Jones, who was supposed to be Stephen Hyde, played by Harry Peacock, who was Proper Dave in two 2008 episodes of Doctor Who.
That is the Silence in the Library episode. That is the debut of River Song, if I remember correctly, in season 4.
He was also a regular in Drunk History UK.
That's right, because they made a UK Drunk History. But no Derek Waters.
Then you have Michael Maguire, not Michael Kelso, Michael Maguire, played by Carlton James, credited as James Carlton. Didn't do much before this show and hasn't done much since.
He was on 112 episodes of Emmerdale Farm.
Oh, okay.
What is that? I have no idea what that is.
It's a soap opera.
Oh.
Yeah, anything that lasts, like, more than, say, 24 episodes in Britain is a soap opera.
Well, it's no Coronation Street, damn it.
It's no EastEnders either.
Playing his girlfriend, Jackie Burgett, not Jackie Burkhart, Emma Pearson, who was on episodes of The Original Coupling, My Hero, and as a regular on both Killing Eve and Hotel Babylon, all of which aired on BBC America once upon a time. But we Yanks can hear her as the voice of Nene in Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition for the Switch. And rounding out the cast is fellow by the name of Torbjorn Rasmussen, played by Jamie Beck. Three guesses who he's supposed to be.
Whoever Tommy Chong played?
No, he's supposed to be Fez.
Oh.
I'm thinking of all of the things Fez says, and then I think about Torbjorn, who says them in a slightly different Swedish accent. Because in the show, Torbjorn is Swedish. They basically took existing American scripts and changed them into British scripts. For example, they substituted an old British car for the old American car when Eric gets the family car. Prince Charles for President Ford when Eric goes streaking. And of course, Lutton for rural Wisconsin. But I do have the episode guide if you want to hear it. Episode 1, Batteries Not Included. An adaptation of That 70s Pilot. Eric, having been given access to a car, takes his friends to a Cockney Rebel concert. Episode 2, Eric's Birthday. Adapted from the script of the same name, Eric's birthday is drawing near. His mother plans a not-so-surprise party. Meanwhile, Donna struggles to figure out what to get him. Playing Eric's sister, Helen Forman, is Lucy Punch. We talked about her in previous entry, The Class. But we also remember her as Esme Squalor on Netflix's A Series of Unfortunate Events. Episode 3, Crown Jewels. An adaptation of the episode Streaking, Eric and the gang plan to streak during appearance by Prince Charles. Episode 4, Disco Nights. An adaptation of That Disco Episode. When the gang decides to go to a disco, Dylan gets dance lessons from Eric's mother with unintended consequences. Episode 5, Double Bill. An adaptation of Drive-In. Donna invites Michael and Jackie to the pictures despite Eric not wanting them to join. Torbjorn's parents worry about the influence that his music is having on him. We have another veteran of EastEnders and Doctor Who The Monthly Adventures on this episode. Man by the name of Paul Shearer, who is known for The Man Who Knew Too Little in 1997. Episode 6. I Hate Sundays. An adaptation of Sunday Bloody Sunday. Eric's grandmother comes to visit the family during a Sunday afternoon. Playing Grandma is June Whitfield, who is known for 36 episodes as Jennifer Saunders' mother on Absolutely Fabulous, and was in the movie of the same name, as well as at least 2 Carry On movies. Now, for those of you who are not British, Carry On is the second longest continuous movie franchise in history. The first one, of course, being Godzilla. And Greg, she played Minnie Hooper in 2 episodes of Doctor Who from 2009 to 2010.
Oh.
Episode 7, Grandma's Dead. An adaptation of the episode of the same name. After Eric tells her why he hates her visits, his grandmother promptly dies. This episode aired 5 weeks before the American version. Playing St. Peter in this episode, Leslie Phillips, who was the voice of the Sorting Hat in a film franchise that we will not mention. Episode 8, Stolen Car. An adaptation of the episode of the same name. When Eric has his car privileges taken away, Michael's cousin comes to the rescue. But all is not as it seems. Episode 9, The Pill, an adaptation of the episode of the same name. When Donna thinks that she is pregnant, she is put on the pill. Episode 10, Equal Rights, an adaptation of Battle of the Sexists. When Donna beats Eric in a game of ping pong and then in a game of basketball, he feels as if his masculinity has been called into question. And that's actually the last episode that aired. Now, there would be three other produced episodes, but they would not air until later on at late night slots when nobody was watching. The first one is Eric the Burger Chef, an adaptation of Eric's Burger Job. After being hired as a burger chef, Eric finds that he has little time to spend with Donna.
Wait, they franchised the Burger Chef restaurant chain to the UK in the 70s?
No.
Oh.
Playing Martin in that episode, Robbie G, who is known as quite a prolific film actor nowadays. He was in Underworld, Paddington 2, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, Snatch. It was also in Zack Snyder's Justice League. Not Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League.
That's right, in glorious 133:1 aspect ratio.
The way it was intended.
On a 1980s big screen TV.
And that was actually the last episode produced. There were two more episodes adapted, reportedly based on Thanksgiving and Eric's Buddy, but they were never produced prior to the show's cancellation.
Aw.
So, what happened? Although it is plainly obvious as to see what exactly did happen. There was absolutely nothing standing this show apart from its American cousin. I mean, you look at a show like Three's Company that was adapted from Man About the House and The Office, which was adapted from The Office. They branched off and became their own thing. And people loved them for it. But that 70s show, which was incredible when it first began and got even more incredible as it ran on, you watch that, and then you watch something like this show, and you just see where it just went absolutely horribly, horribly wrong. I mean, if you've never seen that 70s show, you might have enjoyed Days Like These a little bit more. But having seen that 70s show, I watched Days Like These, and I'm thinking to myself, that was a weak streak, Eric. I'll bring up a couple of scenes from YouTube to illustrate my point. One scene, and I'm only going to show the one scene because if we showed a whole lot of scenes, we'd be here all day. The one scene was Eric about to go streaking. See if you can tell the difference.
Are you going to streak?
No, we took a vote and it's unanimous. We're all very chicken.
That's too bad. It's been a while since I've seen you naked.
You've never seen me naked.
Like a zillion times. We were kids. You were always running around the neighborhood naked, screaming, wee wee, pee pee.
Now it's time for the Q&A portion of our program. First up, I'd like to introduce Red Foreman. Red is the father of two wonderful children, and how he's managed to keep them clothed and fed while being cut back to halftime at the plant is beyond me. But he doesn't blame the president for his misfortune. No, sir, he only blames himself. I give you Red Foreman.
Mr. President, I Hey, Jerry. Here's my question. How the hell could you pardon Nixon?
Good stuff, right?
Yeah.
This is how they did it on days like these.
It's unanimous. We're all chickens.
That's a shame. I was really looking forward to distraction from the Palmer Family Flag Day. Besides, it's been ages since I've seen you naked.
Oh, you've never seen me naked.
Eric, I've seen you naked about a million times. When we were kids, you used to run up the road screaming, wee wee pee pee.
Let's talk about your doctor and nurses in the sandpit.
Okay, quits.
I'd like now to ask Mr. Ron Foreman, an employee at the local car factory, to stand and give thanks to His Royal Highness on behalf of the people of Luton for his visit here today. Ron.
Thank you. Yes. I've got something very important that I've got to say.
Come on, Ron. Your dad is freaking out.
I must say, we did know you were coming here today, but we didn't expect to see the crown jewels as well.
All right, class, compare and contrast.
That was bad. The crown jewels thing is not as good as Red's "How could you have poured Nixon?" Which, by the way, Red, in 2024, yeah, we're asking the same thing, especially nowadays.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing, although you saw where Red was coming across as his classic Red self. And Ron Foreman is just
bleh.
So yeah, I mean, if you've never seen That 70s Show before, I get where you would totally get that sort of thing, but having seen That 70s Show before, not moved.
No. To quote Mr. Horse, no, sir, I didn't like it.
The British public, they pretty much thought the same thing. And after 6 episodes, ITV put it on hiatus, moved it, and then aired it for a few more episodes before pulling the plug altogether. For some of the cast members, this would just be a soft landing, especially for the likes of Steve Steen and Emma Pearson. The rest of the cast made sporadic appearances in the limelight, but nothing of any lasting significance. Unlike That 70s Show, where everybody in the cast went on to become really big stars. Except for that one guy that we will not talk about.
Good.
the show itself, Days Like These, was never given a proper home release. It has never rerun anywhere, but thanks to a YouTuber by the name of Anglo Girl, 8 of the episodes exist online. So thanks, Anglo Girl. The other 2 aired episodes and the 3 unaired episodes remain lost to this day, according to Lost Media Wiki, and given how fast the show is canceled, it's unlikely that the series will ever resurface in full. But thanks to the wonder of modern technology, people all over the world can see what the 70s had in store on the original That 70s Show, leaving this remake confined to the bin of things on TV that were indeed lost in translation. We're going to take our TARDIS back to 2024, where we can happily listen to the 459 installments that preceded this one over at itwasathingontv.com. Not only the proper episodes, but also minisodes, live watches, delayed reactions, instant reactions, presents, all that sort of thing. And of course, not only are they available on itwasathingontv.com, they're also available wherever fine podcasts can be streamed. And also, we are on all social media at It Was a Thing on TV, except for Facebook, where you have to look for us at It Was a Thing on TV Podcast, and Mastodon, where you have to look for us at It Was a Thing on TV at tvwatch.party.
And of course, if you're listening on Place Media Pop Experience, you can always catch us on the Friday on the Bus Drops every Friday. And I hope you enjoyed that discussion about the Virgil figure. That was pretty good.
I just bought one.
Wait, you actually bought it?
No, I did not.
Oh. Why haven't you?
I haven't finished recording yet.
Okay.
Also, we are on YouTube, and we would really appreciate it if you liked, subscribed, and hit the notification bell so you can stay up to date on the other Lost in Translation bits we have for the next couple of weeks. That's right. Normally, it's a week. Normally, it's 2 episodes. This year, it's 3 weeks. And 3 episodes. And Greg is going to explain why.
Okay. Now, back in the summer, we experimented with 1 episode a week. And that was mainly due to my summer schedule and everything. But we decided that at some point next year to start going maybe a little bit regularly before the summer to go to 1 episode a week. Now, what we decided to do, because normally around this time we have pilot months, like in March or April. So we decided to put pilot month to May, because we didn't want to do the 1 episode a week starting in March and then have pilot month in April and then have people say, well, you said you're only going to be doing 1 episode a week and now you're doing 2 episodes a week in April. Because sometimes for pilot months, they're like, normally we're doing half hour episodes. It's easy to do 2 episodes a week. So we decided to push pilot month to May and just give you like 1 episode a week for the next 2 months on the regular feed.
So the next episode is going to be the first in our series of What a Weeks for a while. And in that episode, we are continuing Lost in Translation Fortnite with a delectable Japanese tradition taking root on American soil, but not the one you're thinking of. This one comes with a starship captain.
Oh?
It's a crazy Japanese game show given an American version. And we'll talk about that next week right here on It Was a Thing on TV. Thank you so much for listening. Please be kind to one another, and we will see you for the next one.
Row!
Back by popular demand.
I want to be an American. I want to live here to stay. I want to be an American. I want to say what I got to say. I want to be an American in the land of the free. I want to be an American. It's right for me. Hello, Lincoln. Hello, Dixie. Hello, hot dog. Hello, baseball. Hello, Broadway. hello, hello, hello. I want to be an American.
I want to be an American.
In the land of the free.
In the land of the free.
I want to be an American.
I want to be an American.
It's right for me.
It's right for me.
In America, it's right for me.